Come, ye selves, apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat.
Read that again.
And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat.
Jesus Christ took time off to rest. Or if I may use another word, to recreate. Jesus Christ took time off to rest or to recreate. Heaven, Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead is not so focused on us going to heaven that it has no care or concern about how we live here. Jesus Christ and Christianity not only have concern in respect to how we live while we are going through this life, but has given us examples in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and Christianity do not only address our sin problem and our hereafter, but teaches us how to live purposeful and meaningful life here and now. And that is a fact. And it is a fact that we miss so often. We can be so misguided by our own thought. The misunderstanding of Christianity that we feel that the Almighty God has no care, no concern what happens to me here. How miserable, how discontent, and how unhappy my life is here. We may feel that God has no concern, but he does. Have concern how we live here and now. Let us turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Timothy.
For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come.
Listen to the passage again. For bodily exercise
profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things.
Watch here now.
Having promise of the life that now is.
That is, here, godliness, Christian living. It promises and has benefits and goodness in the life that we now live. That's what it meant when it says that the life that now is, that is here and now, today. And then,
and of that which is to come.
They are the life. So we must be mindful that Christ and Christianity has concern in respect to how we live this life. Not only that, you may read into the first part of the passage of the verse where it says, bodily exercise profited little. Don't read into that bodily exercise profit nothing. God, that's not what it says. You see, we may read into that if I take step or if you take step to get some exercise so that your body and mind function better, the Bible says it no profit anything. The Bible didn't say any such thing. What the inspired writer was doing is looking on things comparatively. That is the great benefit to be gained from spiritual exercise in comparison to the lesser benefit from physical exercise. For so many of us, it is the how of living or how to live that is our problem for many of us. Our greatest challenge is how to live my life as I travel towards death and eternity. Christ knew that tired mind, are we all there? And tired body rarely make good decision, and therefore in many times retard the type of spiritual being that we could be. That is, when the mind is always tired, when we do not know how, when we feel there is no benefit in relaxing, all the things that clog the mind. Many of us don't know how to take a break. Many of us do not know how to thaw out. And the issues and the responsibilities of life wear us daily. The Almighty God, Jesus Christ, knows. As I said, that tired mind, tired body rarely make good decisions. Let us turn to the book of Mark, chapter 6 again. That's the passage that was read this morning. Verse 31.
And he said unto them.
That is, Jesus Christ said unto them.
Come ye yourselves apart.
Come ye yourself apart.
Into a desert place.
Where?
Into a desert place.
Complete the verse.
And rest a while.
And rest a while. Jesus Christ asking his disciples to come and rest. Yes. Because he knew it was unnecessary. No. If Jesus Christ and his followers, his apostles, or his disciples were going to function effectively and efficiently, They need diversion. They need a break from dealing with the people every day and the demand that that make on them. And Jesus Christ recognized this and asked his disciples, come, let us isolate ourselves even for a few hours, because that was necessary then and it is necessary now. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, as Christians, lot of times we need moments just with us and God. The dearest person to you, sometimes you need just time where you and God can be together. Christ knew this. That's why in so many cases we see where his disciples were looking for him and they didn't know where to find him. He took time off to be with himself and with his God. When the Bible speaks about desert, it's talk about place that is inhabited. It's talking about solitude, being alone. The important things in life which are worth doing are worth doing well. Anything in life that worth doing, it is worth doing well. This is one of the reasons the Bible encourages even slaves. Are we all there? The Bible encourages the slave. Now, slavery is sinful. So never be misled in thinking that God sanctions slavery. But Brother Mitchell, I've read in the Bible where, because a lot of places where we see the word servant in the New Testament is referring to bond servant slave. Rome and the different provinces of Rome had more slaves than free men. That's right. The inspired apostle of Christ, Paul, encouraged the slave to be subjected to their master. Philemon. Are we all there? Philemon was a slave owner. Onesimus was a slave. What happened is that he was converted while he ran away from his master. What a coincidence. Paul converted Philemon. And seems Philemon was a wealthy, independent person. Converted him. And Paul went on his way. When Paul was in prison or somewhere there, he met Philemon, Onesimus, and through intermingling, discovered that this man is a runaway slave. And you know what? He ran away from one of my converts. You would think that Paul would encourage him and say, well, you see, give God thanks that you get to run away. No, you know what Paul did? Sent him back to his master. That's right. But of course, he said to him, to Philemon, don't treat or receive him back as a slave, but as your brother. He's now your brother in Christ. Treat him like that. But my God, Paul, how can you send back the man to slavery? Well, among other things, I'm just dropping this by. It is not God's intention to use violence to stop anything. Are we all there? Are we all there? God wants the Christian, if they're going to be emancipated from slavery, and God at that time knew that Christianity would deal with slavery. We talk about Abraham Lincoln emancipate the slave. Yes, and he did a good job, and King whatever in England and wherever. Yes, but ladies and gentlemen, you know what work I saw during this decades and century Christianity? It's the teaching of Christianity that undermined the institution of slavery. God knew that it would do it. So that the Bible encouraged slaves to be subject to their master does not mean that God and Christianity give support and encouragement to slavery. It's just that, among other things, it's much better for Christianity and the slave that the abolishment of slavery be done in a peaceful way. What a wise God. So I get back to the point that the important things in life which are worth doing, they are worth doing right. You see, the point I was on is where Paul encouraged the slave, the servant, that when you are working, consider what you are doing, not to your master, but to God. Isn't that striking? It calls anything in life, I mean anything that is good and worthwhile doing. Learn, put out effort, put out thought to do it the best way. Give it all your thought, all your effort, all your energy, all your time. Give it your best shot. That is the philosophy of Christianity. That is how God wants us to approach life. Are you cutting the lawn? Don't look for a shortcut and a shabby way to do it. Do it the best way you can. That's right. Are you washing your car? Do it the best way you can. And mark you, even when you are doing it for someone, give it your best shot. That is Christianity. That whatever worthwhile doing in life, it is worthwhile doing right. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Romans 12, 8.
Or he that exhorteth an exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation.
That is right. Don't be hypocritical in whatever you do. That is verse 8.
Verse 9.
Well, let me hear verse, if verse 8, that's where verse 8 you have just read. Let me hear verse 11 now.
Not slothful in business.
Not slothful in business. Wait. Eh? Don't be sluggish. Don't lack zeal. Don't be indolent in what you do. Read it, verse 11.
Fervent in spirit.
Fervent in spirit.
Serving the Lord.
Serving the Lord.
End of verse 11.
Mm-hmm. Let us hear Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23.
Keep thy heart.
And chapter 12, verse 24. Let us hear it. Proverbs 4, 23.
Keep thy heart with all diligence.
Keep thine heart with all diligence.
For out of it are the issues of life.
Out of the heart. Wait, remember, the heart is not the one that pumps the blood. Bible heart is the mind, the intellect. Uh-huh.
End of verse 23.
Yes, end of verse 23. Let me hear chapter 12, verse 24, and chapter 18, verse 9.
The law, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule.
Start again.
The hand of the diligent shall bear rule.
Let me hear it again.
The hand of the diligent shall bear rule.
May I? Diligent. Diligence refers to the person who, what they do. May I complicate things? They are diligent about it. That whatever they do, they're not just gallant so. There is thought and effort, mind and body involved. What the wise man said, dear brother? The heart of the diligence.
The hand of the diligent
shall bear rule. The brother is reading from Proverbs 12, verse 24. Let us hear 18:9. Same book of Proverbs.
He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster.
I like how Solomon put it. He that is slothful
in his work.
In his work. You just gallant so with whatever you are doing. You don't put any thoughtfulness in it. He that is slothful in his work
is brother to him that is a great waster.
That means both are going to end up in needs and wants and poverty. That's right. A lot of times, men and women end up in destitution, not because opportunities upon opportunities have not come their way, but because they apply no diligence, no thoughtfulness in life. Did you know that not even God protect you from that? Because the Almighty God expects his people to employ and apply the intellect that he gives us. When Jesus Christ said the sons of this world are wiser than the children of light, it was on that same principle. How the men and women of the world in dealing with material things exercise more thoughtfulness, more diligence, more commitment than the children of God apply as they serve God. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 8.
Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver,
mm-hmm.
if she lose one piece,
mm-hmm.
doth not light a candle
mm-hmm.
and sweep the house
mm-hmm.
and seek diligently till she find it.
You notice the word diligent. It means cheerfulness. Are we all there? It means accurately. But notice again, notice the step. She lost what she lost, a coin. What woman?
If she lose one piece, doth not light a candle?
First, thoughtfulness, you know. Because assuming that the candle or the coin that was lost in the night, in the dark. And the passage implied that. Where, Brother Mitchell? Because it tells the person have to light a candle. So that tell you. Now, the person can go about finding it many ways. The person can just feel. And that person would spend all night a feel and probably never find it. But the person light a candle, that's thoughtfulness, that diligence.
And sweep the house.
The person sweep the house, that's thoughtfulness, that's diligence.
And seek diligently till
and
she find it.
The person does not only see, but it tells you the way the person seek. All this is telling, is revealing Jesus Christ to us, you know, because it is telling you about how Christ expects us to go about things. Remember, we are still on the point that whatever the important things in life which are worth doing, they are worth doing right, properly. May I? While the things that are worth doing the right way, the proper way, worth doing with diligence and thoughtfulness, we must be mindful that the way the Almighty God constitute our body, the total person, mind and body, is that time for rest, time for relaxation, time for recreation and thoughtfulness and reflection are just as important as when we engage in activities out there. Let me explain. Take the word, there's a word we use. You know, the word recreation. The word, watch. Is really recreation. Because that's the way the word spelled, R-E-C-R-E-A-T-I-O-N, creation. Recreation. Recreation does not necessarily mean you just sleep away. And part of that might be recreation. The word really means to rediscover yourself, to remake yourself. It doesn't necessarily mean to just laze away. While that might be necessary at times where you just get off your mind all the things that clog the mind. In fact, there are companies now in the world that specialize in lecturing to companies that the best way to get the best out of their employees is not to have the employees working months after months, week after week, without any break. Frequent break for the worker cause them to be better worker. That's right. And one of my daughters work with one of these companies where ever so often they get break. They can take day off and they can permit their lease to accumulate and take it when they want. And what the company discover, it make them more productive worker. Because the more chance they get to recreate, to remake, to permit the mind to get rid of the clogs and things, is the better worker they make. So Jesus Christ and Christianity is not against the time that is taken off for a little rest. Is it for a few hours? Is it for a day? Is it for whatever? To rest, to think, to recreate and to repair oneself. Both mind and body needs that. When Jesus Christ suggests to his followers, let us take time off and let us go into the desert. Let us isolate ourselves. Because Jesus Christ, our Maker, knew that that is necessary. Time taken off is not loss of productivity. It is time for renewing and receiving. Christ was a person of action, our Savior. That's right. Jesus Christ didn't drive a car. And there's no indication that he owned his own donkey. He ride other people's donkey. But there's no indication that he owned his own. Christ was a person of action. Jesus Christ was a people person. Christ produced. Jesus Christ healed. Jesus Christ preached and taught. Christ walk among the people. But Jesus Christ, our Savior, knew the necessity of rest and relaxation and reflection. Let us hear Luke 4:42 again.
And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place.
Mm-hmm.
And the people sought him,
mm-hmm,
and came unto him,
mm-hmm,
and stayed him, that he should not depart from them.
That's right. They asked, never you do this again, Jesus Christ. We want at whatever time we want you, we can find you. But Christ did again whenever he need. There were times when Jesus Christ just need to be with his God. Look at 3 John 1:2. 3 John 1:2.
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth.
It's a passage we are well acquainted with. We have, in one of our vacation Bible school, we have a series on this passage. John was expressing God's wish and concern for his people. Brethren, I read again.
Beloved,
mm-hmm,
I wish above all things,
mm-hmm,
that thou mayest prosper.
That you may prosper.
And
that is progress. Succeed.
And be in health.
And be in health.
Even as thy soul prospereth.
Even the same progress you make spiritually. It is God's wish that you make progress economically, socially, financially, and in all the other important areas of life. So, Christian, never think that God's only interest in you is going to heaven. No, God has interest in how you live here, how you live this life. And a lot of us approach living ignorantly. That is, all the things we do, we are always doing the wrong thing because we do not know how to live. We rush, we hurry about so many things that we do not learn to take time off to recreate. We must learn to live now, not just exist. Many men and women going through life, they are existing. To live is a different thing. Because you utilize all the time, all the blessings that God gives you and make the best use of them. We must learn to enjoy the little hackie and salt fish as much as we enjoy the roast beef. That's right. You see, many times in life, the simple things, they are much more profound and much more valuable than a lot of the big, expensive things that we set our minds on. Have you ever thought that the Almighty God had the power? The Almighty God had the ability to create this world in one day. In fact, in 1 hour. Yet God stretched it out in 7 days. I said God had the ability and the power to create it in 1 hour or less. Yet the Almighty God, and you know what? God probably was teaching his people a lesson there. 7 days. Jesus Christ knew that he could only give away that which he possessed. Work time is that which Christ possesses. Work time is giving. Rest time is receiving. When we work, we expand. We give out strength, energy, and other physical and mental capacity. But when we rest, we are gaining those. And that is why they are so important. We need both time to work and time to rest. Jesus Christ understood the balance of life. Many times what destroys many of us is extreme. We're always going to wrong extreme. Jesus Christ lived life in a balanced way. It involved both rest and work. No wonder he accomplished so much in 3.5 years. Did you know that all you and I read about Jesus Christ? Remember, we were told about Christ from he was about age 12. Have you ever assessed that we didn't hear about him again until he was about 30. That's right. And yet, for those few years that we were given the privilege of getting into his life, Jesus Christ accomplished magnanimous amount of things. Don't wait until tomorrow to live. Live now. Your tomorrow and my tomorrow may never come. God gives us now. Whatever you plan to do for Christ, for Christianity, for the church, don't tell yourself you'll do it next year, next month. No, that next year, next month may never come for you or me. Do it now. Life is demanding. People are demanding. Things are demanding. You need a level head. You need a level and clear head to deal with both people, with things, and with life. We have to have a level head. Building yourself to deal with life. Building yourself to deal with people. Building yourself to deal with things. That requires all of your effort. But live life. God gives it to you and to me as a blessing to live. We need not go through life always unhappy, always burdened down with cares. No, cares are here. And they will come our way. But Jesus Christ, hope you will learn from him to take a break sometime. Both your body and your mind need it. Jesus Christ needed breaks, and he took it. Learn. Sometimes, do you know, have you ever been dealing with a problem? Many times, you're dealing with a problem. It might be something you're trying to work out. It might be something, it can be a mathematical problem or other problem. Have you ever noticed when you put the thing one side for 30 minutes or an hour or 2 hours, by the time you get back to it, everything is plain. That's right. That's right. Because sometimes the mind gets clogged. The body, it needs sometimes just a brief break. And these times that Jesus Christ took off, to be by himself, to be with his Father, to talk to his Father, to meditate. Sometimes just a break to think things over without the distraction here and there. It helps. We see that example in our Savior. Christ wants us to live this life. If you're here today, turn your life over to Christ. Let Jesus Christ teach you how to live. Wait, wait. Yes, you're going to have problems and issues in life. This life is a life because we live in a sinful world. Sin brings with it all sorts of challenges. Tears. Unhappiness, discontent. But Jesus Christ did not want you to live a life where Every moment of your life is lived with tears and discontent and discomfort and unhappiness. No, sir, let no one fool you. Christ doesn't want that your life be constantly filled with these challenges. They come, and as long as you live, they will come. But one of the best ways to deal with them is there are times to just take a break. Turn your life over to Jesus Christ, and he will teach you how to live. You can come today believing in him as the Son of God and your Savior. You can come today repenting of your sin because you believe in Christ. You can come today confessing Christ's name because you believe in him. You can come today submitting yourself to be baptized for the removal of your sin because you believe in him and believe that Jesus Christ can help you live more meaningful lives. And Christ can do that, and he wants to do that for you. We are going to stand and sing a song to God's honor and glory. While we sing this song, it is the right time for you to step forward. Are you a child of God that have backslidden? Not only that, do you ever consider how many Christians have given up Christianity, backslide, because there are some challenges in their life that they couldn't handle? And a lot of times those challenges remain because they do not know how to deal with them. Come to Jesus Christ. He will teach you how to live, not just merely exist. Let us stand.